Time for us to talk DIY, and today we are delighted to welcome back Orlando Luis from Bright's Hardware, who is standing by to chat to us about the many different ways you can help get your home ready for the peak of winter, and quite appropriate to be having the conversation on one of the coldest days of the year so far anyway here in Cape Town. Single digit temperatures overnight and this morning, so very, very good timing indeed to talk about how to keep your home warm and dry and cozy. We will of course welcome your questions for Orlando. They don't have to be restricted to winter preparations. If there's a more general DIY conundrum that you're facing, call us now on 021-446-0567, send an SMS to 31567, or leave us a voice note on 072-567-1567. Orlando, great to have you with us again. Welcome back.
Thank you, Pepper, for having me.
It's all about insulation and waterproofing, isn't it? Trying to keep the house warm and dry and nice and cozy.
Yes, definitely. At this time of the year, you've got to make all those precautions for sure.
Now, it's actually something we should be doing all year round. I know all of our guests tell us that all year round maintenance leads to fewer headaches when we get to the rainy season. But we know not everybody does that, Luis. So let's go through your list of some of the cost-saving DIY maintenance tips that will help protect the house against the elements. Should we start on the roof?
Sure, yes. Definitely, it's good to start from the top because the water always comes down. So definitely by starting on the roof, looking out for damaged tiles, cracked tiles, or any openings that might have been created. Sometimes when people walk on the roof, they have a tendency to crack tiles, and that could cause a leak to come through, and you'll notice it on your ceiling boards on the inside. They'll start to create patches of mold and normally in the corner sometimes as well. So to start off with is to find a product that will seal off the cracks on the roof sheets. And we do have those products at Bright's that can solve that problem. One of the very good products is a FiberTech. It's a product by Durham. And you apply it, it's very thick. And when you apply it, it creates an elastic seal over the roof tiles or over the metal sheets to ensure that the leak is solved.
How expensive is a product like that?
Are we talking about just 300 Rand, a 5 liter, 300 to 400?
Okay, and that'll go pretty far, so you shouldn't have to buy too many of those.
No, definitely
in
not.
Okay, thanks for the tip. So the Durham FiberTech to look out for if you are struggling with cracks on the roof sheets and those patches on the ceiling. I mean, we always talk about the patches on the ceiling. People phone saying, what can we do about the mold? You can treat the mold, but unless you treat the cause of the where source. The mold's coming from,
yes.
You're only going to have it recur, right?
That's for sure.
Okay. Then the gutters. You'd be surprised how many people forget to get up there and check out the gutters. Just remind us why it's so important to do that regularly.
No, definitely. The gutters are very essential because your roof sheets go and shift the water from the roof into the gutter. But if the gutter fills up and there are obstacles in the gutter that has not been swept out with a gutter sweeper broom, then there will be a buildup of water in the gutter, and then that will start to seep in under the sheets, and therefore it will start to leak into your roof ceiling boards. And again, if you start to notice these funny mold marks on the corners, that would be an indication that there's actually a gutter that is got debris in it that's blocking the water flow, and it's now causing this water to flow into the actual ceiling itself. So it's very important to clean your gutters once a year, after autumn, when all the leaves are full, make sure you clear the gutters.
When it comes to kinds of gutters, do you treat different types of gutters any differently, Orlando? I mean, it's obviously physically clearing out the gunk in them, but in terms of ongoing maintenance, I know there are lots of different products that they're made from.
Yes, but the most common product for metal gutters or otherwise aluminium or otherwise plastic would be a Circumastic or a Powermastic, which comes in a tube format, almost like a sausage tube, or otherwise in a cartridge that fits into a caulking gun. Which is easy just to trigger, and then you'll be able to apply this in any kind of a leak or any kind of a gap that you have. It's a mastic, so it goes far as well to seal up the gutter.
Okay. The other place that we know is often the source of the ingress of water into the house is the windows. Let's talk a little bit about what we need to do around our window trims in particular.
Well, they normally use silicone sealer on the corners to seal off the window to the wall. Is the most popular product used. There are also other kinds of foams that you can use before you put the silicone. If the gap is becoming very wide due to a crack, you can use a sister foam, which you pump in with a trigger, and it expands and fills up any kind of large openings that you might have. Once that is dried, You can cut that and sand it down, and then apply acidic concealer afterwards between the aluminium surface and the walls. Look out for window panes with putty that might have cracked, because being in the sun on the especially the north facing side, where the sun is baking all around, those windows are going to be more harshly treated than what the ones will be on the south side. And many times the putty has cracked, and therefore the water will come through the putty and will start to have water running down on the inside of the window because of the putty. So see what you can do with regards to replacing putty. Many times you can just apply a bit of turpentine to your existing putty to soften it again.
Really?
And then reapply it again. But otherwise, if you do require putty, that's not a problem. It's a very cheap product to obtain.
Okay, I'm intrigued by this turpentine story. Mm. So how do you apply it? Do you dab it on and leave it to soften?
To soften, yeah.
And then just remold the putty with your fingers.
Yes.
That is fascinating. You learn something new every day. Interesting question on the WhatsApp line from Clint. He says, I've used bath silicone to seal a leaking cracked roof tile. Is that likely to work? And I guess the secondary question is, will it last?
Normally bath silicone is used more indoors than outdoors. Rather apply the marine one, which has got the use for exterior purposes as well. But all around, I think it's better to go with a circumastic, a product or a mastic that's designed to be outside on tiles rather than silicone. Silicone is more just for windows and more interior uses.
Okay, so it might work for now, but probably not going to last.
It's not going to last
very long, Clint. Okay, thanks for your question. A reminder, anybody's welcome to ask a question with a WhatsApp to 072-567-1567. What about, let's talk a little bit about the outside of the house in terms of access to the house, our driveways, our walkways towards the house. What needs to be done to them ahead of winter?
Well, if it's a concrete surface, they have a tendency to crack with time. Every foundation is moving all the time. Normally in 5-year increments, you should always be analyzing the concrete surface. Whether it's in your home or in a factory or in any application where it's solid concrete, you will notice cracks occurring, and you would have to ensure that those are resealed, and then you apply afterwards a product that will called show floor coating, which is also made by Durham, which will go onto any cement floor and seal off any kinds of possible leaking or moisture that will be going through the actual floor. How would you know if your floor needs attention is to just put water onto that surface and notice if the water is actually seeping through into the concrete. There'll be an indication that you have to reapply a sealer on the floor because the water is disappearing through the concrete itself. That goes the same for wood surfaces as well. If you apply some water onto the surface, onto wood surface, and you notice that it's disappearing into the wood, that would be an indication that you have to go and re-varnish that or put a wood dressing onto it to ensure that wood surface is protected again.
Now, on the concrete, if you do that test and you see that it is being absorbed and it's running down, I mean, what is the risk then it softens what's underneath and leads to subsidence?
Yes, remember your soil, the more water that will go through that soil to where your subbase is and underneath, the more water comes to that surface, the more it ends up being more liquid, and it has a tendency to shift easier. You might find that your paving sags in certain places if you don't seal a concrete surface. Depends on the drainage of that of your paving, if there is good and sufficient drainage. But in most cases, it's best to ensure that you don't allow water to puddle and to stay in one spot. It must run off. And that's why when they do paving, they ensure that the paving is at an angle and it runs away from your foundations and from your walls, because you want to keep the water running away.
I mean, that goes in general, not just around your paving. Around the house in general, you need to be checking drainage all over.
Yes, so you don't want any water damming up near your foundations. Again, that also sometimes if you have a leaking gutter or a downpipe and the water keeps on running over the soil, it causes the soil to erode away, and then it creates even like a pool or a little hole where water can accumulate. And that water, if it doesn't run away, that has a tendency to go down into finish. Make sure your floor is also colder, because that, you know, concrete is a very good conductor of water. So therefore the water would go throughout that concrete in your foundations and get even to under your slabs and cause your house to become even cold.
Okay. For those who might have joined us late to the conversation, our guest in studio is Orlando Luis from Brights Hardware, talking to us about winter preparation. It's really making sure that our homes are well waterproofed and insulated, and taking care of all the little maintenance jobs to make sure you're not faced with a cold and leaky house as the worst of the winter weather descends on us. I think a lot of people, Orlando, might not think of painting the house as part of that process, but really it is more of, it's about more than just making the home look good. The paint also does have a protective role to play.
Yes, definitely. Paint is an insulator of your walls. As paint wears from the UV, from the sun baking down onto it, it does crack, and therefore any situation like that, that you're having cracks on the walls, any moisture will seep through that wall. It will, and as I said, it will conduct that moisture into the home. There is a cavity between your outer brick and your inner brick, but not all houses are built perfectly, and therefore many times the water, especially around windows and around the floor, you will notice the water, it comes right through, and you start to see this bubbling and this white like powder coming up on your windows, and that's an indication that the water has seeped through from the outer wall. And it's important that you go and put a good coat of two or three coats of paint on the outside wall to ensure that the water is not going to ingress again.
Okay.
To walls.
A general DIY question before we carry on with the winter checklist. Chris in Kryfontein is wondering what you would recommend to re-glue parquet flooring to cement floors.
Parquet flooring is normally used as a bitumen product. So ABE makes a super Lycol bitumen product, and they normally have done all the years whenever it was those parquet floors to stick them to concrete. That's always what they used in the past.
Okay, so Chris, you're looking for the ABE bitumen product if you're going into your local Brights or other hardware store. Thanks for the interest. Those of us who are lucky enough to have a fireplace, put it to good use in the winter months, but that comes with a whole set of requirements for keeping the chimney in good nick. Orlando, let's talk a little bit about what we need to be doing to make sure that the chimney is ready for winter.
Look, overseas, chimneys are very important because they use them much more than what we do here in South Africa. But sometimes you even need to have your chimney cleaned out of the soot that is built up over times of making fires. People don't think it's an important thing, but if you're starting to notice that there's a back draft of smoke coming back into your home, it could be because either your the cock on top, is not turning, causing that the smoke to escape properly from the chimney, and it could also be a buildup of soot that is inside that chimney section. And you get people that are designed to clean out chimneys more so in Europe and overseas than what we have in South Africa, but it's something that needs to be done, is to ensure that there's no soot buildup, because that would cause then a backdraft of smoke coming back into your home. Up top as well, important the junction between the cowls that you have and the extension pipes that come through the tiles have to be sealed off well. There you get a foil with a mastic that's on the back of the foil, which is good for the corners. It comes in different widths of 150 right through to 300 mil width, which you can seal off between the chimney and the actual roof tiles. That's something that you got to make sure that it's working well. On surfaces down below where the chimney is joining to existing walls, you do get a product also that is a fire sealant made by Ben Braven to seal off any kinds of joints that you've got, where you want to ensure that the smoke does not escape at the sides of the pipes. Is use that fire sealant on any kind of joint where you join the two cowls together or any pipes together, ensure that it's sealed with this fire sealant that we stock as well.
How often would you recommend clearing out the chimney professionally? If you're using it regularly, lighting a fire in the evenings throughout winter, should you be doing that on an annual basis?
Yeah, I think a bit longer than that. I think it's something that might build up maybe over 3, 4, 5 years.
Okay.
I think, but if you start to notice a backdraft, go and have a look at your cowl on the top and make sure that it's turning. Sometimes they get stuck, they rust, and then they end up sitting in one position. They don't move with the wind. So go and look for that, and then lubricate, put a bit of grease onto the shaft where it pivots on and it moves around. But if after that you're still finding that there's a backdraft of smoke coming to your home and you never had that problem before, then that's maybe an indication to go and to get somebody to check out that chimney.
Okay. While we're on fires, let's just talk a little bit more about fire safety. Many people are moving towards closed fire systems, which are contained. But if you have an open fireplace, what sort of steps in terms of reducing fire risk would you recommend?
Well, every home, I think, should start to have a fire extinguisher, even though it's not a regulation as yet. But with the amount of gas appliances coming to the market, now everybody is looking at saving electricity and therefore going more to gas when it comes to cooking. Automatically, you should get yourself even if it's just a 1.5 kg or 2.5 kg small fire extinguisher mounted in your kitchen somewhere or in a cupboard that you can quickly pull out if you need to. There's even a thing called a fire blanket, which is also an important device that in case somebody does get burnt and that you have this blanket that you can throw over an individual that has caught a light. These things are readily available that can be mounted even against the wall, even though it's not a nice thing to see, but maybe you can put it in a place where you can hide it away. And then, smoke detection is also very important. So we have small smoke detectors which go for under 200 Rand, which is just a device that's got an alarm on it. So if there's too much smoke buildup in the home, it will cause an alarm to go off, which could wake you up in the evening when maybe you forgot to put the fire out properly, or maybe you forgot to switch off a gas heater or something like this. It will cause an alarm to go off, which will wake you up in a case of a fire.
Really important advice that. Okay. We hope that we get through winter without any further load shedding, but we know that that's not necessarily a given. Orlando, can we talk a little bit about what preparations you'd recommend in case it happens again?
Well, definitely there's been a big shift towards going for inverters and batteries as being the solution of choice because of the not being any noise that is generated when the load shedding occurs. You don't have generators running all over the show. Obviously, generators is always a good solution because it is not dependent on how long the batteries can last. Mm-hmm. The generator is always going to be operation as long as it's serviced and it has fuel. The generator should run. So therefore, from a long duration of load shedding, a generator is your best solution there. But if it's just shorter 2-hour stints, definitely the better way to go, and the unit that is far more better for your electronics and for your DSTV and various other computers and so on is to have an inverter unit, which is a UPS, an uninterruptible power supply, which comes in various sizes from 600 watts right through to 5 kilowatt to even 10 kilowatt and much larger as well. And these devices work off backup batteries. These are deep cycle batteries which generate electricity in the time when the power is out, and it's totally silent, it's totally automatic, it switches over whenever the power failure occurs, and then it'll switch back when the power comes on. It will charge the batteries once again, and it's all an automatic system, and these are all available at Brights.
How much is that going to set you back? I mean, depending on how many watts you go for, but sure. Can you give us a
starting
range?
From anything around 2,000-3,000 Rand as a starting point with one battery, going through to maybe 12,000 Rand for when you start to reach 5 kilowatt. When you need to go for more batteries, you could reach 20,000 Rand if you want to have a good backup, that the batteries, you need at least two or four batteries along with a stronger unit. It's going to come to 20,000 Rand.
Okay, but certainly, I mean, I'm just thinking of the cost of losing work if the laptop goes, sure. You know, on the fritz, or you can't work if you've got a deadline to meet, etc. That investment of 2,000 or 3,000 Rand in the smaller one might really be money that repays for itself. Okay.
For sure.
I think we've got time to squeeze in a quick call from John, who's got a question about Facebook surfaces. John, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon. I've just tuned in, so I'm probably catching the end of the conversation. I've got I live in Berries Bay, and I've got a Facebook double-story house. And what happens when we get driving rain, the rain comes in through the face bricks below the upper windows, and then it flows down the cavity walls, and it lands on top of the beam on the windows underneath, and then seeps into the house. So I've got about five, every time I get a driving rain, I've got about five heavy leaks in the bottom story, nothing in the top story. Is there a product that I can use that will penetrate those face bricks and seal them off?
Yeah, but that is a very difficult one. They obviously never built it properly from the start, but you're supposed to have a plastic above the lintel, which is within the cavity and within the weep holes. There should actually be weep holes to allow the moisture to come out. So if you don't have those weep holes above the actual lintel, then the moisture is always going to, if it does get through the outer walls or come through the brick itself, which if that is what is happening and it's coming down into that specific cavity, if it doesn't have that plastic there, it's always going to create a problem for you. You can seal the face brick. Nova makes a brick seal, which is a product that can be used. There are other silicon based sealants for brick that we stock as well, which could help in a big way to stop the water from going through the brick itself. So, but then you'd have to seal everything from the right from the top all the way down over all that face brick to try to stop the moisture from coming in. It is a good solution in the interim, because obviously to go and chop off the face bricks now and to go put plastic in, where it should have been put in above the window, is going to be a difficult thing to solve now.
Okay.
John? Yeah, no. If I could just add, what happened was the top story burnt out a number of years ago. Okay. I think the renovation, the guys didn't put the plastic in again. I think that's what's happened. So.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
Okay, John. I hope that interim solution that Orlando suggested might bring you some relief. And thank you so much for calling in today, Orlando. Just like that, the time has flown away from us. I do want to mention one of your branches is about to relocate at the end of this month. Correct?
That is correct. Yeah, it's our Stickland branch, 25 years old now, and after many challenges that we've had with regards to parking and the store being too small, it's now moving to Brackengate, which is only about a kilometer or less from Stickland, into a more residential area as well, from an industrial area being more in Stickland before to Brackengate. And we will be having a this store is about 6,000 square meters in size, and far bigger aisles, more female products being stock, far better shopping experience all around, much more parking, better located also, as I said, for the Brackenfell and Kells River on Bortleray Road, easier to come off also off the R300, off the off-ramp to get into the Brackengate location. So all around, it's a great change for us. We've been waiting for this for a long time, and this is the second oldest branch to be able to do this change for it. I think is really a game changer for us.
So look for the new premises in Brackengate from the end of June, and for all your other needs, please visit www.brights.co.za. Orlando Lewis, great to have you with us.
Thank you, Pippa.